want to see the team have the kind of fight that they had in 2016, even if we shock the world. Shock the world!
We're playing a Mexican team in the next round.
That's what I was about to say.
Howard and forward, Jack Price in goal.
And the Colorado Rapids, the team from the Rockies, have scaled their own mountain tonight. They are MLS Cup winners.
Hello, Rapids fans. Welcome to an interview special episode of Holding the High Line with Rabbi and Red. Well, I guess it's just Red for today since it's just me. Mark's not here or anything. This is the interview segment with Johan Blomberg that Mark and I had teased at the end of the show earlier this week. We wanted to get it into the episode, but we decided to make it its own special thing to give you guys a little treat for your Friday commute, or possibly give you something to listen to on the way to Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Saturday for the match against Toronto FC. Speaking of Saturday, Mark and I will be hosting Holding the High Line Office Hour / Happy Hour on Saturday at the Centennial 38 tailgate. That'll be from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. before kickoff. Our specific location is still to be determined, but we'll tweet it out once we're settled in a specific spot. Mark and I are also both very conspicuous, so if you're at the C38 tailgate, it shouldn't be that hard to find us. I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Rapids96Podcast for our latest news and notes. Never miss an episode of Holding the High Line by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. We're pretty close to getting on TuneIn and Spotify if you prefer those two mediums as well. With that, here's my interview with Johan Blomberg, the Swede, number 8. We talk about his time playing in Sweden, how he got to AIK, his first impressions of Major League Soccer coming from the Allsvenskan, and what weapon he'd carry into battle alongside Enzo Martinez as he chooses to defend Dick's Sporting Goods Park. With that, here's the episode.
New cleats?
Yeah. Pretty new.
Yeah. I saw Jack got some new ones as well.
Yeah, those are nice, huh?
Yeah.
Like the mint color.
Breaking them in, though.
Yeah.
Takes a bit.
Yeah. All right.
So, prior to coming to MLS, spent your entire career in Sweden, born there. You know, why choosing to come to MLS now? Why leaving Sweden? You know, why America? What went into that process, and how did you come to that decision?
Well, I think I wanted like a new adventure, a new challenge in my career. As I said, I've been in Sweden my whole life, so I just felt this could be my last time to try something different,
mm-hmm.
not only playing Sweden. So. And when this option came up, it just felt like a great option straight away. And I just had a good feeling about it. So
there's kind of been a move of a lot of Swedes coming to MLS, you know, even before Zlatan, you know, Mohamed Saeed and Axel Arihill, mm-hmm. Gustav Svensson, and a couple of other players are coming through, you know. Is there something, say, particularly about, I'm probably going to pronounce this probably, the Allsvenskan?
Yeah, that's good.
Is there something about players from there coming to MLS, or, you know, what did you talk about with some of the other Swedes in the league that made the MLS appealing to you?
I mean, why a lot of Swedish players come from Sweden to here, I don't know actually, but I spoke with Ishizaki, he played for the Galaxy before,
mm-hmm.
and I spoke with Henrik Goitom, he played for the Earthquakes for just a few months, but they had a lot of good things to say about the league mm-hmm. and everything, and I think it's also appealing to a lot of Swedes to move to the US
mm-hmm.
and just experience the lifestyle here and everything that comes with it. So I think it's a combination to play soccer in a different league, try that, and also stay in another country and try a different culture and everything. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's very appealing.
You and Ishizaki were teammates at AIK, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. A lot of American soccer fans are really interested in how foreign players view the league. You know, there's comparisons. You know, we're trying to get up to the Barcelonas and the EPLs. Not there yet,
yeah.
but, you know, some of the Scandinavian leagues are comparable, or some people have made that parallels. You know, how do you compare, say, the level of play and other aspects of MLS to Sweden as a domestic league?
I think, I mean, obviously, in MLS, it's more the top players here. Of course, a lot better. Because
mm-hmm.
In Sweden, I don't think they have the possibility to bring those kind of players. But
mm-hmm.
unless they have. So in this league, you can play against one of the best players in the world. And in Sweden, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, I think the MLS is a little bit more physical as a league. All the teams are running a lot here. And all the teams have players that are very physical. strong, athletic. In Sweden, I think it's a little bit more keeping the ball possession. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it's the level, I would say, is pretty similar. But the highest level here is, of course, higher mm-hmm. because of the players.
David Villa and
Jurgen Klopp. Yes, Zlatan, Jurgen Klopp. So, I mean, of course, that mm-hmm. raises the level, obviously.
Mm-hmm. What did, you know, the conversations you had with Axel or with Stefan, you know, how did, is there anything that they said that surprised you about the league or anything that you've seen in MLS so far that's really surprised you?
No, not really. No. I mean, obviously, everything around the soccer, compared to, like, contracts that you can get transferred and all that, that's mm-hmm. very different from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, on the pitch playing, I think it's just, like, anywhere. I mean, it's like, it's a great league to play in. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a lot of fans mm-hmm. in many games, and it's just, it's just a great atmosphere.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how is it different from, say, the support in Sweden that you have from, like, the supporters groups and things like that?
I would say, like, the five biggest clubs in Sweden has a lot of supporters. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in my last club, when we had derby games, we had, like, 50,000. They had flares, they had, like, it was crazy, just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can have it here in the same way. but, like, a normal game here, I think it's a better atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Grew up and played for your youth club, your hometown club, Lunds BK.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that experience like? You know, what was it like playing for, you know, maybe the team that you supported, you know, as a boy?
Yeah, I mean, I started to play there when I was like 5 or 6, and then just went through the whole academy and started playing with the first team when I was 17, I think. And, I did pretty well, you know. It was like the fourth league in Sweden, but I was pretty young and mm-hmm. I did well, so. It was great. I mean, I've been watching those players since I was a kid, so obviously it was great to play for that club. But at the same time, I wanted to also go to another club because I wanted mm-hmm. to play in, like, you know, better division and in a higher level. So
mm-hmm.
I think from every year, just took small steps, and then eventually I just got better and better and went to better and bigger clubs all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned those. Angelholm and Halmstad.
Yeah, right.
I'm doing okay here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
what was the you mentioned the progression of that. How did you help you, you know, grow as a player, and what was that experience like, you know, climbing the ladder from mm-hmm. you know, up the pyramid?
Yeah. I think it was good. I mean, of course I could have taken like faster steps in my career, I think. But at the same time I all my years I had to fight really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, been playing like in smaller clubs and always have to prove myself. So I think that helped me and also helped my character throughout the years. And I don't take anything for granted, even when I'm playing and starting, like in my last club, I always want to fight every day, you know, because I don't want to lose my spot, I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helped me and helped build my character really good.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that sort of comes to fruition with you making it at AIK. You know, you talk to any American soccer fan who knows anything about football in Sweden, it's AIK and Malmo.
Yeah.
What was that experience like playing for such a big club? You know, you mentioned, you know, the derbies where they have 50,000 people
yeah.
and, you know, really being in the spotlight.
I mean, it was amazing. That was probably, you know, the chance I've been waiting for my whole life, basically. The other clubs I played for, I mean, it was great, and I really appreciate the years I had there, but it was just a total different thing to come to AIK.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as I said, it's one of the biggest clubs in Sweden. It's just a really big club with a lot of supporters, and you have pressure every game to
mm-hmm.
win. And yeah, I really love that about that club, and I had 3 amazing years, I would say. I really liked it, and it was a good
mm-hmm.
time, but now I felt it was time to do something different.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I think, 1 or 2 times last we spoke that you played in the 3-5-2 in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
What clubs did you play that formation in?
That was only in my last club, AIK.
Okay.
So the last 2 years we played 3-5-2.
Okay. How did sort of that experience, you know, help you adjust to the 3-5-2 here, and how is Hudson's tactics a little bit different than your time at AIK?
I think it definitely helped. And when I had contact with the Rapids, I also found out that club was going to play 3-5-2 this year. And of course, that also helped my decision to move
mm-hmm.
over to this club. Because I was very familiar with the system and everything, and I think it helped me quite much because I had the exact same role in my old club as I have here.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the tactics with Hudson, I think it's a little bit different because here it's more man-man marking in the defensive side. In my old club, it was like extreme zone of defending. You just cover your space, basically. Never run with your man defensively. And here you have to do that. So I would say that's the biggest difference between the two tactics from what I had in Sweden compared to here. But it's, the first weeks, I would say,
it was hard.
It was hard to like get all the stuff, like the small details in my head. But now I feel like most of it are just super automatic. Obviously, like I just do it. Like,
muscle memory. It's automatic. You don't have to think about it.
I don't have to think about it too much now. But the first weeks, I have to think so much. But it's getting better and better.
Okay. Do you have a preference or think that you're better at zonal versus man-to-man marking?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just that you have to get used to one or the other. And now when I'm getting used to this, I like it. So.
Hudson's talked about one of his philosophies with the media is about the process. And, you know, yes, the win against Philly was fantastic. Getting a draw against Dallas, you know, was good on the road, so to speak. But he cares more about the performance than, say, the results and building from week to week. You know, are you sensing that? Do you feel that you guys are coming into your own in terms of getting to where you want to be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think from every week, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's not. We're really getting better and better for every week. And I feel like all the players is, like every week we talk about maybe a different thing. So this week, maybe we're talking about like following a guy. I feel like all the guys in the team do that really well. And then something else we talk about next week. And from all the weeks, we're getting more and more puzzle pieces to play.
Yeah.
And soon I think we're going to get the whole picture. And also, three of the games we played, we lost in like the last minutes. And you can't just blame it on bad luck, but we couldn't have a lot of more points than we have. So I think we're done pretty well this season so far, and I think we're progressing a lot. So it's a great feeling.
You seem to be really, really good at like 30-meter long balls. You had that cross into Nicky Jackson for his goal, and then a couple really good passes to Baji. How did that come about? Are you just really good at that? Is that just one of your skills? That just seems to be like one thing that the fans really notice that you're really good at, picking the ball up in midfield, finding a guy who's not quite open, and just hitting him right in stride with the pass.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of my qualities as a player. I think overall my right foot, compared to like shooting, crossing, or hitting those like diagonal balls, that's probably one of the best attributes I have. So, and it's something that I've been practicing my whole life. That's probably the main thing I've been practicing on, just like hitting the ball properly and just finding those passes. So I'm just glad it's paying off a little bit. So, and I hope it's a lot more to come this season.
Good. Okay, I just got some rapid fire questions to end. Why do you wear number 8? Any particular reason?
No, not really. I have in my like long time back in home, I had number 4. Then I went to Halmstad, I had number 6. Then when I went to AIK, I had number 8. And that was like a really prestigious number because like a legend from the club had that number before, and they gave that number to me. And I just really liked the number and feels that it suits a midfielder. And when I came here, it was open, so I just had a good feeling. That's probably why I chose it.
Okay then. Skiing in Colorado or skiing in Sweden?
Oh wow, I'm probably the only Swede that has never been skiing in my life.
Okay.
I don't think we're allowed to ski actually, to be honest.
As a player?
As a player. Okay. I'm not sure, but I think it's in our contract. I heard something say something about it.
Okay.
So, but I would guess, I mean, we have some really good places in Sweden you can ski, but I would say Colorado is probably better with like Vail, Aspen, all that. So, I think Colorado is better.
Okay, the supporters are going to like you hearing that. Yeah. Okay. Favorite player to watch, past and present?
Oh, I have to say, Iniesta.
Iniesta, okay.
Yeah,
okay, what's it going to be like to play against Zlatan later this season?
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing. He's the best player we ever had in Sweden, and he's probably the most famous person overall we have in Sweden, so it's just going to be, it's going to be amazing to play against him, and I hope I can steal the shirt.
Okay, how far do you think Sweden makes it in the World Cup this summer?
Oof. I think they will make it through the group, and then I think they're going to be
Playing a big team, and it'll be
tough. Probably like in the what is it, last 16?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go out there.
Yeah. Okay, then. And then, so, spoke with Enzo last week. His nickname on the Rapid Spanish radio broadcast is El Vikingo, which is Spanish for the Viking.
Yeah.
You, of course, possibly at the center of the very least, Sweden had a lot of Vikings.
Yeah.
If Dick's Sporting Goods Park was ever besieged by a bunch of opponents and you had to defend the ground, what would be your weapon of choice going into battle?
Oh, my weapon. Oh, my God.
Enzo chose an axe.
Axe, that's good. It suits him very well.
Yes.
For me, it would probably like probably do like, can I do like a tank or something? Really big. Or it has to be like,
I don't think Vikings really have.
It has to be a Viking.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could do like a battering ram or something. You and a couple of other players like carrying a battering ram.
What do you call this? This big thing with the spikes that you like.
Oh, the ball and mace? Ball and chain. Ball and chain with the spikes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Johan, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right.